Good evening,
Love
folks.
Talk
this is,
Radio.
This is Gene. I normally come on Tuesday night, but something happened this Tuesday, and we delayed it to Friday, so I'm glad you're all listening and all here. And I want to talk tonight about the angels, the ministry of angels. Everybody likes angels. Everybody's a mysterious, even those that have never picked up the Bible, they rely on something about angels. I personally, everything I try to do, I have thousands of books, and I read, I don't know how many, you know, just studied so much. But my principal study comes out of the Bible. I know that's not popular with people, but I'm not in a popularity contest. I worship God, and I found God in the Bible, and I live by His Word in the Bible. Some people say, well, the Bible's not accurate. The Bible's a ministry of man and all this. But, you know, I can argue that point all day long. But I'm not going to talk about that. I just, my personal belief and the powers that I live under is dedicated to the Holy Word of God. 66 books written over a couple thousand years by 40 different authors. So I'll start from that. Angels. In Ephesians 3, it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That wisdom of God is when He sent angels to earth to minister. In the innumerable company of angels in heaven, Hebrews 12:22 says there's just an innumerable amount of angels who serve as ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. At the same time, it is instructive to realize that we also have a ministry to angels. You mean man ministers to angels? Yes, Christian people can minister to angels. Despite their great power, angels, and knowledge, angels are not the heirs of salvation. What do I mean, heirs to salvation? When Christ died for me on the cross, me believing in Him, I become heir to His salvation because His death is not my death. Now, I don't have to die. I'm to die the physical death, but I'll spiritual death. I will always live for eternity. They never personally experience this. Angels never will personally experience that. They're created by God. That particular type of love and fellowship that we share with Lord, our Lord and Savior. In other words, I personally have a love for God and love for Christ as a result of this heirs to salvation or dying on the cross and believing in that. Angels, according to the scriptures, never experienced that. But they look at it in a particular way because they want to share the same thing. Nevertheless, as personal beings with free will to reject their role as God's servants if they choose. In other words, they can live for God or they can reject God. If they choose, they are intensely interested in our salvation. Amazing. Angels are intensely interested in our salvation. In addition to serving for the protection and guidance of individual believers, apparently certain angels are also assigned to God to serve in Christian congregations functioning corporately, truth, especially truth, in local churches. What am I saying? You mean the local church or a certain amount of local churches? Angels ministering there? Paul mentions the observing presence of angels in the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 11:10, for example. In other words, as Paul mentions, as Christ mentions in Revelation, angels minister in the corporately in local churches. Not every church, otherwise it would have so many splits, denominations, and et cetera. Not going to get into that, though, because that's an argument, and I don't want to argue. I just want to give you an idea. There are certain churches, and where certain angels will minister within that local church. In his letter to the seven representative churches, Christ addressed the individual angels of each church. Revelation 2. That these heavenly angels, not human pastors or other church leaders, seems probable that the fact that the word of an angel is used 65 other times in Revelation and always refer to real angels. In other words, there are real angels in local churches. Not all churches, I get again. So many churches are run by, I got to get away from that because I have a tendency to go off the deep end about certain, but there are local churches, certain local churches, and God will lead you, if you ask him to that local church. They won't be perfect. There's angels ministering in that church. I attend a local church here. I personally believe that there are angels, our angel, in that local church. So many things happen. So many miraculous things can happen. And you'll find that in certain local churches. Finally, the words of our text for the day give a special incentive for our lives. For there are reminders that it's through God dealing with the church that its holy angels are able to learn themselves the manifold wisdom of God. What do I say? As angels minister in local churches, certain local churches, they learn for themselves the manifold wisdom of God. And if you don't belong to a local church, or if you don't belong to God, you don't experience that. The Holy Spirit will dwell within you and give you insight on what God expects, what God demands in certain local churches. I would that tonight or this evening that you would accept God as your personal Savior. I look out this big plate window of mine, about 8-9 foot wide. There's red robins, wrens, all kind of animals run across this pasture, this yard. So green, so pretty. It's all created by God. And I would tonight that you would accept God in Christ. Let the angels minister to you as he ministers to me. But only you can make that decision. I'd like to tell you a story in the that's found in Judges 3:18. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why ask my name, seeing it is secret? The angel of the Lord. That's called a theophany. Because the angel of the Lord, when it's spoken of in Judges or in different places in the Bible, is not only not an angel, but it's the angel of, it's a theophany, it's part of God himself. That's when Christ showed himself in humanly form so that people could understand certain things. This intriguing encounter occurred during one of Israel's periods of apostasy and servitude, when the people had been ruled for 40 years by the pagan Philistines. In other words, that Israel came out of Egypt. The story goes, you know, when Egypt ruled Israel, slaves, millions of people come out of Egypt. But they turned against God. They didn't turn against him. They served God. They worshiped God. But they had idols. They could never be true to God. as so many of us today get. There was one godly couple in the tribe of Dan. However, they evidently had long been praying for a son. And here's a couple that had no children. And at that time, children was everything. Today, not so much. They've been praying for a son, and God finally answered their prayers. The angel of the Lord came to give the good news to Manoah and his wife, the remarkable son who was to become the mighty Samson, and later would free his people. But it's the angel himself who is the most intriguing here. His name was Secret, meaning too marvelous even to comprehend. The same word is translated wonderful in Isaiah 9:6, where it is excited in the name coming divine son, whose name would also be a mighty God and everlasting father. That's the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord was thus none other than God the Son, one of his rare pre-incarnate appearances, a theophany, or theophanies. When the invisible God manifests himself visibly to man, when Christ himself became man, the angel of the Lord, which is the theophany, manifests himself visibly to Manoah and his wife. There are many creative angels, Hebrews 12:22, are messengers of God. But on a certain occasion, this one who called the angel of the Lord, also angel of his presence, as in Isaiah 63:9. And the angel which redeemed me, as in Genesis 48:16. See, all this is Bible, biblical. Go in there and your theophany appears. It's found in the Bible. So why do you have to read so many books, and why do you have to be in such a stir over what is right, what is wrong? The Bible itself will tell you. In such cases, it can only be in the pre-incarnate Christ. But the Bible says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him. John 1:18. God has already revealed himself in this way to great men of God. And now even in the unknown couple, who's this couple? Noah and his wife. He's revealed to them that he's going to have a son. And the angel, whose name is Wonderful, was made flesh and dwelt among us, will one day dwell with his people forever, Revelation 21:3. The son that was revealed to Noah and his wife was Samson, a mighty man, with a jawbone of an ass. He killed thousands of Philistines. But like so many times and so many people, such as myself and whatever, he strayed from God. He's not supposed to cut his hair. That was a Nazarite vow. Yet, mighty Samson's but overtaken by a lady, beautiful lady. Sexy, had everything going for her. She tricked him. She cut his hair. The hair didn't mean anything. It was a vow to God. But God meant to keep this vow. It's a Nazarene vow. And he cut his hair. The Philistines took him, gouged out his eyes, put him in prison. They had conquered the mighty Samson, a man so powerful and feared. They controlled Israel, and he controlled Philistine. The put there, I mean, he just was it. And yet, he was beguiled. Did he serve, did he worship God? Yes, God was his master. Did he have other things in his life? The same things that we may have in our own lives. The reason we don't see, hear, or feel the presence of God. They gouged his eyes and put him in prison in the Colosseum. The end of the story of Samson is mighty. He said to his captors, he said, as they led him down into the arena, and said, can you lean me up against the post here? Two columns that are holding up the place where he was, where the people were sitting and festive and giving worship to idols and etc. And Samson said to God, God, I failed you many times. I disobeyed you. Please give me strength now. With a mighty thrust, he took those pillows. With a great heave of the Holy Spirit, God, the angels, angel of the Lord, he was able to lift the pillows out of the ground. They, like dominoes, began to fall around the arena. And the whole system collapsed. Thousands upon thousands of Philistines were killed along with Samson. Set down by an angel of the Lord, Caleb and Noah and his wife, said, I'll give you a son. And he did. And the son gave his life to kill Philistines, thousands of Philistines at that time. Tonight, if you listen to me, there's so much things you can do. One thing you must do, if you want to see the angels of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, our angels ministering, found in Hebrews 11, you must accept Christ. And I've lived all these years, and I've had great success, so many things, and God blessed me. I was a poor dirt farmer. My dad was. Didn't have any money. But one day, as a kid, I fell on my knees. I accepted Christ as my Savior. Did I stray? Yes, I did. But I came back, and I realized the error of my ways. Tonight, if you realize the error of your ways, you can accept God for what he's done. He loves you. I love you. And I want to see you in heaven with me. Personally. I close with this invitation. Just bow your head and pray the prayer of a sinner. Somehow come into my life. Forgive me for my sin. And I accept you as my Savior. And he'll do it. My number is 865-803-7334. 865-803-7334. Or my Facebook page, Gene Abbott. Or you can text me. I'd like to minister with you. And if you have questions, you don't believe what I said, or you do believe, and you have questions, I'd love to talk to you. Good night, and God bless you. Thank you.